All right. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, raise up your Bibles, say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to have Mr. Leonard back. He's been, I can't say offshore, because that's not offshore. He's not on the water, but he was out working for how many days? 19 days. So it's good to have him back. And so Miss Gail said she was glad to have him back. Now she's ready to send him off. Golly. The plaque of it. Oh, Lord. What a place. What a place. Amen. Praise God. You know what? All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with Him. I want to read a song to you. This is an old song. And it says, all things are possible to Him. That's the name of it. It says, all things are possible to Him that can in Jesus' name believe. Lord, I no more Thy name blaspheme. Thy truth I lovingly receive. I do believe in Thee. All things are possible to me. 'Twas most impossible of all that here sin reigns in me should cease. Yet shall it be, I know it shall. Jesus, I trust Thy faithfulness. If nothing is too hard for Thee, all things are possible to me. All things are possible to the children of God, because you know why? Because we serve a God that all things are possible with. Amen. Matthew 19, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 19, and I want to read one verse to you at this time. Matthew 19, go to verse 26. That one verse right now. It says this, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Now, we're going to come back to those scriptures, but I need to lay a certain foundation, because you see, we need to realize that when God was saying, with Him, all things are possible, the foundation is laid in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, both. That means He's saying, church, believe. Then He's saying, church, really believe. Because He's saying it more than once. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Genesis 18, 14. With God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And we know the story about Sarah and all the son. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? What's the response? All things are possible with God. Is there anything too hard that God cannot do? No, the answer. Because all things are possible with God. All things. I want you to turn to Job chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. Job 42, 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. My God. Look at this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know, Job is saying, I know that Thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Job was saying, Father, I agree with You. There's nothing too hard that You can't do. That all things are possible with Him. All things. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says this. Verse 17, not 27, 17. Well, that, I'm coming to that one next, but that's okay. You have 17? Okay. It says, O Lord, or Lord, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Throughout the scriptures, people, there's nothing too hard for God. You need to believe it. There isn't anything too hard for God. Go to verse 27 of that same chapter. It says this, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? How many times have we prayed and we said, Well, Lord, I don't know if you can do this or not. God is saying, Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for God? And we know that there isn't. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke 1:37. Now we go on in the New Testament. We know it says it in the Old, and it's laid a foundation. But in Luke 1, For with God nothing shall be what? Let me hear you. Impossible. For with God nothing shall be what? Let's all say the scripture together. Say it. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's say it again. For with God nothing shall be impossible. We got to get it in our spirits. We got to get it deep within our hearts. For with God there is nothing that is what? Impossible. Zero. Zero. Look at verse, look, go to Luke 18:27. Luke 18:27. And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I know without a shadow of a doubt, we've all been in places where we know with men it's impossible. We know the situation is what? Impossible. That it cannot happen. Anytime man, talking about mankind, puts its point of view in something, it becomes impossible because it becomes tainted, because we are a tainted people. But when God is involved and it's put in the hands of God, all things are possible to him who what? Believes. All things are possible. There isn't anything that God cannot do. Except there's a few things that it just won't cross the line, like he can't lie. You know, there's certain little things. But as far as actions upon our lives, there isn't anything that God cannot do. How many times have we been financially strapped and we didn't know what to do and God came through? My God. How many times have we been in a place where we didn't know if we should take a left turn or a right turn or just go straight? Talking about our spiritual lives, we didn't know what to do. And we prayed and we said, Lord, you need to show us. And all of a sudden, somehow during the day or during the week, that God would, His scriptures would be open up to us. Or we'd hear something, or God would show us something and lead us in the right direction. You see, what is impossible with man is always possible with God. What's impossible with us and in our hands, when it's put in the hands of God, He makes it what? Possible. With God, all things are possible. Let's say that scripture. With God, all things are possible. You know, you might say, Pastor, why are you making us say it? Because what's here has to flow to here, and what's here is faith, and faith is what moves God. We have to say it. We got to believe it, and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, moves if it's exactly His will. And it shall be done. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. God can bring back that wayward son or daughter. God can do it. Go back to Matthew chapter 20, Matthew 19, starting with verse 23. The first scripture we read. That first scripture we read. Start with verse 23. It says this. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, He's not saying that riches are bad. But it was contrary to Jewish doctrine, because they believed the more riches you had in the Jewish doctrine, you were closer to God, or it signified God's approval. That's why He was hitting it so hard. He wasn't saying just because you have money, because every one of us in here, honestly, we're richer than a whole lot of the world. By far. By far, people. I don't think anyone that I know of has to go home and get on their knees and say, Lord, I have no food. I need some for tonight. No, most of us, when we're going to leave, we're going to go get something. Praise God that we're able to. But we are rich. God has bountifully given unto us because of our rich Christian heritage of our country. God has blessed this country tremendously. Tremendously. But they were taught that riches signified God's approval. So He was hitting at what was making them think that they were approved by God. And it wasn't riches. And again, verse 24. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Who is He talking to? His disciples. His disciples. These 12 guys, people, that were the ones that when He would leave, would take on the mission of giving out the Word of God throughout the world. That He honestly, as He left, gave them the Word and said, Here, preach it. Entrusted them. But verse 26 says this, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We know that a camel cannot go through the eye of a needle. That's totally impossible. We know that. And God was letting them know that your way is totally impossible. Your riches are totally impossible. The ways of man and thinking and leaning on the arm of riches will not bring people to Christ. Leaning on the arm of riches and wealth, which there's nothing wrong with riches and wealth. But when we lean upon it and we don't lean on God and who He is, well, then it becomes wrong. God says, trust in Me. He didn't say, trust in your riches. Trust in Me. Trust in Me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not what on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will what? Make our path what? Straight. All things are possible with God if we will believe Him. The faith in us that He puts in us. The thing the devil, and I know I've said this many a times, the thing the devil tries to do is erode the faith that we have in our God to do the impossible. He tries to erase it. He tries to make mankind believe that it will not happen. He tries to make man believe and doubt our God in what He can do. But you see, God is saying, trust Me. And it will happen. Trust Me and you'll see My hand move. Trust Me and see what will go on. Trust Me. There was a church up north many years ago, that God, they started a church and the church was growing, and they spotted a piece of land, property that they wanted. Acres and acres of land. They saw it, and one day as the pastor was passing by, they had their eye on it. He felt in his spirit that God said, "It is yours for the church. It is yours." And he said, "Lord, thank you." So he called up the bank and tried to get, you know, all that they, you know, arranged in trying to buy it and all this stuff. And after a while, the pastor didn't get a call after a while. And so he finally called back the bankers and he said, "You know, I haven't heard from you. What's going on? We want to buy this land." Well, the banker turns to him and says, "Well, we decided not to sell it to you." "Oh, we've decided to sell it to this other corporation that wants to build big, you know, markets and stores and stuff like that on it." So the pastor hangs up and he says, "Lord," went to the throne, "Father, you said, with man it's impossible, with God it's always possible." And so they had to pass this parcel of land every time he went to the other church. Well, to his, where his church was located. They'd pass and they started clearing out the land. Passed some other few days, they were starting to bring in dirt and do what needed to be done. Then the next day they passed, they starting to lay down the foundation of cement and all kinds of stuff. And can you imagine every time he passed, the devil would whisper in his ear, "You didn't hear from God." What he was trying to do is eat away at the faith that he had in his God. And can you imagine as he had to stand in front of his congregation and say, "Look, I'm letting you know this is the scenario of what's happening." In the meantime, as that was going on, about 25 or 30 ladies just said, "We're going to get together." And every day they'd go out to that property as those men were working on that property. It didn't matter what was going up. Didn't matter what was coming down. They just continued to pray and said, "Lord, we believe. We believe, we believe it is ours. You have spoken to our pastor. We know that with you all things are possible." And they prayed every morning, and they prayed every afternoon. They'd get out there and just pray. They didn't cause any ruckus or anything. Oh, no, no, no. They just walked on the sidewalks. And they just prayed and interceded. They prayed and they interceded. They prayed and they interceded. Sometimes they have a teaching going around. One time you pray and you never pray about it again. That's false. You keep on praying. You keep on knocking. You keep on asking God to move in that situation. And they kept praying and they kept believing God that He was going to do something. He was going to give them that land. They didn't care. They didn't care. The building was up already. They didn't care. They didn't care. People were walking in to buy stuff. They were still going to claim that property and claim whatever was on it, that it was God's. And God would get the glory out of it. Well, not weeks or so later, he gets a call from the banker. And the banker says, "Pastor, yes, sir. Do you still want that land?" The pastor's kind of blown back because he's thinking, "Look, what's going on here?" He said, "Yes, we do." He said, "Well, what's going on with the land?" He said, "Well, after they've done all the work, they found out that the foundation, the ground foundation will not hold up for some reason the buildings that they want to build on there." And he said, "Now they don't want it. Do you want it?" The pastor said, "Yes, I do." But he said, "I'm telling you this. I'm not paying you what you asked for the first time." And come to find out, that pastor got it for less than half of what they asked for it the first time. That's the power of God, huh? That's the power of God. That's the power of God, people. That God can move upon a situation. And when it looks hopeless, people, when it looks like there's no hope in sight, that they lay in the foundation and you're seeing with your eyes, "Oh my God, What's going on? You think, oh my Lord, nothing's going to work out for us. God moves in because He knew from the start what was under that ground. He knew what would happen. And He changed the course of that church and brought it to that place. And they built a beautiful auditorium from what I understood. Praise God. That's the kind of God we serve. And let me tell you, He'll move like that with every church if He wants to. Because you see, what's impossible with man is possible with God. We need a mighty move of the Spirit of the living God upon our church and in our hearts and in our lives. We need God to move for these buildings. God, change and move and let it happen, Lord. The power of our God, the power of His Spirit, that we can believe God for the impossible. That we don't have to walk around thinking, God can't do this. And God can't do that. And surely God can't do that. But our faith needs to change, Otis. Thinking, Lord, You can do that. You can do that. And Lord, You can do that. Amen. When He speaks, it's done. My God, the children of Israel went through the desert for 40 or so years. And their soles never wore out. Their sandals. That's the kind of God we serve. That will preserve things. That will move upon things. That will change things. But we have to have the tenacity to believe and stand and say, Lord, I won't give up. When You speak, I will listen and I will believe. That's what He's looking for. A church that will believe. A pastor that will believe. An individual that will believe no matter what. When He speaks, it's not my job to get it done. When He speaks, it's my job to listen and believe. The faith to believe and ask God to move upon those situations, to change things in our hearts and to change things in our lives, Lord. God can do the impossible in your life if you allow Him to. Go to Him. Go to Him. Don't give up. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at what's going on around about in the world. Don't look about your finances. Don't look at what's in the natural. But look at what's in the supernatural in this Word. And saying, Lord, You did it for the Old Testament prophets. Lord God, You can do it for us. You did it for the disciples. Lord, You can do it for us. Lord, You did it for the little widow woman. You can do it for us, Lord. Lord, You can change things in our lives. You can move and change people's hearts and change people's lives. That's the power of our God. We don't serve a dead God like the song we sang. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, people. He's alive. And He's moving upon a generation of people that will be a remnant, that will bring the gospel down and will be able to teach and preach the Word of God, that will not back down and say, oh, no, we can't say Jesus. My Lord, if it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? That will stand and stand and stand and say, devil, I'm coming after you. You've already been defeated because the Scripture says what? It is finished. It is done. He's been defeated. He's been defeated in every aspect of your life. He's been defeated upon every aspect of the world itself. All we got to do is take our rightful position in Christ, and God will move, and God will change, and God will work within an area that we don't even think is possible at times. But God can do it. God said He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And let me tell you, He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle because He looks at us through the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you, He's coming back for your children. He's coming back for your grandchildren. He's coming back for your mothers and your fathers. He's coming back. I know you're thinking there's no hope, but I tell you what, with God, there's hope. Then with God, there's hope. With God, there's hope. And the devil will try to make you think your children are lost. And he'll try to make you think your parents are lost. He'll try to make you think your spouse is lost. And he'll try to make you think that everybody in the world is going to hell in a basket. But let me tell you what he says is totally different. What I will believe is what the Word of God says. It says He's coming. And when He said He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And let me tell you, I'm not going alone. I want my children. I want my spouse. I want my mother. I want my father. I want my sisters. I want my brothers. And let me tell you, we can have them. We can have them. We can have them. We can have them. Because God said He would move. And when He says He would move, we can stand upon the Word of God. And we can trust His Word. My God, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. That they will not split hell wide open. But God in His mercy and His grace will bring the blood of Jesus and save their souls. We don't know the encounters that people are having today. I know there's many people that should be here today that are related to you. Don't let the devil swerve you out. Don't let the devil divert you. Don't let the devil make you put your eyes on something else but Christ and Him alone. And let me tell you, as your faith is in Christ, the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is moving. And let me tell you, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming for us. It says that He will split those eastern skies. And when He does, my God, the trumpet will sound. The shout will come. And praise God, we will rise to meet Him in the air. Praise the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's nothing impossible with God. Your family members that have been lazy and don't want to get up to get to church, you keep praying for them. You just keep praying, saying, Lord, I believe Your word, Lord. I believe Your word, Father. I don't care if they sleep 24 hours a day. Doesn't matter. Something's wrong, but you might say, well, they need to be transported to another area. Yeah, I understand. But it does not matter. We don't look at human circumstances. What we look at is what God says. What God says. What God says. He's coming back, people, for a church without spot or wrinkle. And I know you're probably thinking, Lord, I know personally I've said, Lord, please, I want Him to come, but then I'll say, Lord, not today. Not today, because there's so many that don't know. That don't know. That don't know. But I tell you what, He's looking for a church that will pray. That will say, Lord, bring them in. Bring them in. Holy Father, we're not giving up on anyone. Because all is worthy. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care how much money you have. That doesn't matter to me. What matters is you are a child of the living God with a soul and a spirit. And I want that soul and that spirit where? In heaven with God Almighty. Celebrating as we eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord God Almighty. How much food is going to be there? Oh, amen. Ooh, that's exciting. Ooh, I hope they have a menu we can order from. Gosh. Ooh, Lord. God, eat some fried shrimp. Just bring. And look, just think. We have on a new body. You can eat. You don't have to worry if you gain 10 pounds or 5 or none of that stuff. Man, you can be slim and trim. Slim and trim. Under the power of the Holy Ghost, you can just keep on eating. Yes, Lord. Amen. And just keep on eating. Yes, Lord. Amen. How y'all doing? Need some more. Praise God. Praise God. John chapter 6. Oh, thank you, Lord. Even Christ's disciples struggled with doubt and fear in times of trouble or uncertainty. Though they walked closely with the Savior, they were still prone to casting their focus in the wrong direction. Amen. Look at John chapter 6. And oh, and I hate to say oh because it's new every morning. The feeding of God's of the children of God. Look at this, verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, because they saw His miracles which He did on them who were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was near. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to his disciples, and disciples to them who were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet who should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. Here we see a mighty move of God, people. 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. What's impossible with man is what? Possible with who? God. Is it possible with men? No. No. No, 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 no. What's possible, what's impossible with men is possible with God. Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he looked up and he saw 5,000 men or so. That's not counting the women and the children. And he said, we need to feed them. 2 of the disciples said, we don't have it. I mean, they just flatly said, we don't have it. One said, look, I see a little boy here, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Jesus, and they said, this is nothing. This is nothing for the people. You're right. The things we have are nothing. Absolutely zero. Really nothing. If you have $20 in your pocket, that's nothing, really. Now, $20 is $20. I mean, we don't want to lose it, but yeah, I mean, we don't want to lose it, but I mean, but with man, it's nothing. It can be dispensed and thrown away. It's nothing in the end. But Jesus said, bring me that food. Now, what do you think they thought? Do you think Jesus needed to eat also. Do you think they thought Jesus was going to eat the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread? You don't know what's going in their mind. He said, bring it to me. They're thinking, oh, God. He's going to eat the end is here. They thought Jesus was going to cut it open, that bread, take that fish, put it in the middle and just have a fish sandwich. My God. And everybody else would have been hungry. In every action that Jesus took in the New Testament, because that's when Jesus was here, it was always for the sake of other people. Jesus is and was and never will be a selfish person. Never. It was always for other people, the things that he did and helping. And they brought this fish, and it says that he took in the hands of God, he took it. He lifted it up, basically, blessed it, said, Father, thank you for what you've given. That's the lesson there. That's who we pray to, the Father. The Father, in Jesus' name. And he took that bread, and he took that fish, and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, after they were seated, he said, now feed them. I bet you they took the bread and the fish and stuff, and they probably turned around and thought, oh God, I think he's lost it. I mean, you know, just thinking, Lord, he's lost a marble here. Something has happened here. Sometimes God will speak things to us, and we know in the natural, it's not correct. Huh? I know it. In the natural, it's not correct. But with God, we got to remember, with God, all things are possible. And it says, and we know the story, that he gave them the bread. And I'm sure they went to where they were supposed to be, and they little pieces, you know, you kind of, we got to make it last. We need to get at least through 10 people, you know, at least 10, you know, each. But can you imagine in their hands, they started giving it, and then they look at it. It's the same. When we take something and use it, it's no more good, basically. I mean, it's thrown away or whatever. But in the hands of God, when he has something and he breaks it and gives it, it's renewed every day. It's renewed. And they broke that bread, and look, their faith started to grow. As they were giving it out, they looked and they said, my God, what's going on here? And they looked back at him, I'm sure, and saying, look. And he's going, I know. Just believe me. Just believe me. And they kept giving it out, and everyone was fed to their full. Have you ever tried to feed, let's say, 10, 12, 13,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread? But in the hands of God, he makes it possible. In the hands of God, he makes it possible. With God, all things are possible. When we put our talents, our abilities, the things we know in the hands of God, he makes it multiply. He breaks us. And he makes us multiply. We think we're being broken and destroyed. And the devil will try to make us believe that. But God is saying, I'm building you up. I'm making you stronger. I'm letting you rely on me. You're relying on the arm of my spirit. And I'm moving upon that situation. God, we need to take what God gives us, give it back to him, and let him break those things inside of us so that we can be of value to him for the church of the living God. God is looking for a church of people that will say, Lord, not my agenda, but the agenda of you, Lord God. Not what I want to do, but Father, what does the Holy Spirit want to do, wants to do in this day and age? Lord, what do you want? Put the value of your life in the hands of God and let him mold and make and take out things and put things in. And let me tell you, he'll make you more valuable than what you ever could imagine. What you ever could imagine. You do things that you thought, oh my God, I could never do. But the Spirit of the Lord said, do it. And in the hands of God, he made it possible. In the hands of God. With man, it's impossible. But with God, it is possible. How can you give 10% of your money to a church and you're better off in the end of the month than if you would have kept it all? How is that possible? Only in the hands of God. Amen. Only in the hands of God. Only in the hands of God. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. With man, it's impossible. Oh, with God, all things are possible. In difficult times, when it seems like all hope is lost, try not to assess your circumstances from a more worldly perspective. Don't ask, what am I going to do? Rather, in a spirit of faith and simple faith, Lord, say this, Lord, what are you going to do? 1 Peter 5:7 says this, and I'll end with this scripture. He tells us to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. To cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. When it seems impossible, we should say, Lord, what are you going to do? Lord, what are you going to do? Lord, what are you going to do? Faith in Him to believe. With man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing stands in His way. Zero, people. Zero. I know you're thinking, well, there's no way God could save my spouse. Or there's no way God can save my children. But let me tell you this. There isn't anything too hard for God to do. And God can do it. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, this day. Thank you, Lord. As every head is bowed just for a minute, every eye closed or whatever. Maybe there's an impossible situation that you're facing. And you need God to step in. You need God to step in. If there is an impossible situation, what I'm going to ask you to do is just raise your hand. I see your hand.